بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening, last week we brought the life of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه to a close. There was still so much more we could have got into explaining, and there were so many more details I just left out because the chapter was very long. So I think we did it over about 6 weeks, so 6 sessions on the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Today we'll start the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And obviously this is a book, and inside of the book the author is just, he's not writing the whole story in order, he's just telling us glimpses of the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So you'll see things are not in order, everything's a bit scattered. But inshallah, hopefully as we go through, we will understand a lot of detail and information about the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And we should never lose or forget the purpose why we sit here, and the purpose why we have these gatherings. Because we're going through a book, this is beneficial for me, it's beneficial for everyone, it's like a ta'lim. The whole maqsad, the whole purpose is that we hear about the Sahaba, we hear about the a'mal, the actions that they did, how they were, and this inspires us to be better Muslims. This is the reason why we're here, that we listen to who the great people of Islam were, and by listening to their actions, to their karname, to the good things that they did, it inspires us to do those actions, inspires us to be better Muslims as well. So obviously we're going through the Sahaba now, and then we're going to start talking about the tabi'een, and we're going to start talking about those who came after them. So the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is quite short actually in this book. It's only in about 20 pages. So we'll see how much we can cover inshallah today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was the third Khalifa of Islam. After the Shahada, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the next person to become the Khalifa of the Muslims was Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Uthman's lineage is as follows. Uthman ibn Affan. So Uthman, the son of Affan, the son of Abu al-As, the son of Umayyah, the son of Abdul Shams, the son of Abdi Manaf. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's sixth, or you could say his fifth ancestor is Abdi Manaf. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his lineage is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abdi Manaf. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fourth ancestor is Abdi Manaf. So this is where Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's lineage joins at Abdu Manaf. So in terms of lineage and family, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was closer to Uthman radiallahu anhu than he was to Umar radiallahu anhu. Because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's lineage joins with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Ka'ab, who was much higher, the 8th or 9th or 10th person. So he joins much higher. So in terms of family, they were closer, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Ibn al-Jawzi mentions that in Jahiliyya, before Islam, in the age of ignorance, the kunniyya is a title. So the Arabs, they always give each other titles. They don't call them by their name. They will call you by the name of your son, the father of so-and-so, or the mother of so-and-so. So many of the Sahaba, you see, Abu Talha, Abu Ubaidah, Abu Huraira. A lot of the Sahaba, they have this kunniya title, Abu Bakr. Even Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, whose birth name was not Abu Bakr, we mentioned this previously, but Abu Bakr, they're given these titles. Sometimes it's because of the name of their daughter, sometimes because of the name of their son, sometimes it could be for any other reason. Like Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he'll come later in his biography, he was called Abu Huraira because Huraira means small cat. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, his real name was Abdul Shams before Islam. And what happened, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would have, in those days, their sleeves used to be very long, you know, and their sleeves were like pockets. So they didn't have pockets, and people, even ulama, scholars, would keep their books in their sleeves. So when they would walk around, they'd have their books in their sleeves. People would keep many different things in their sleeves. Sayyidina Abu Huraira would walk and he would have a kitten in his sleeve all the time. He used to have a very close connection with cats. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw him and he smiled at him and he said, Ya Aba Huraira, O father of the kitten. As a humorous something to make him happy. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was so happy that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him. He said, from now on, I don't want anyone to call me anything else except Abu Huraira. So everybody called him Abu Huraira. So we know him as Abu Huraira, whereas that was not his name. But because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him that, he wanted everybody to call him that. So anyway, so Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had kunniyya. So before Islam, his kunya was Abu Amr. And after he got married to Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiallahu anha, the second daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second eldest daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had a son called Abdullah. He passed away. This is Allah Ta'ala's plan, that from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughters, only the progeny of Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha, they survived. Their progeny flourished. That's why we have a Sayyid today, somebody who's a blood relative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their ancestry will trace back to Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha. You won't find anyone who says, you know, their ancestor is Sayyidatuna Ruqayya, or Sayyidatuna Umm Kulthum, or Sayyidatuna Zainab, or anybody else. It will only be through Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha. This is why she is the leader of the women of Jannah. Allah has kept her progeny going. So then after he had a son called Abdullah, everybody started to call him Abu Abdullah, okay, the father of Abdullah. So he was one of the early Muslims. He became a Muslim before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even went to Darul Arqam. So Darul Arqam was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the early days of Islam, when the first few Muslims, first few people became Muslim, so then the question was, okay, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs to teach these people about Islam, but Islam is still very hidden. And from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the announcement is, the hukam, the command is that preach Islam quietly. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Preach to your family members, and then, you know, to the close people around you. So he was preaching it very quietly. So it can't be a very public place where we call people towards Islam. It has to be a very small place. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Arqam. Sayyidina Arqam, Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam radiallahu anhu, was one of the first Sahaba, first people to become Muslim. He even passed away very early as well. That's why you don't have much information about him. I think he passed away even before the Battle of Badr, Sayyidina Arqam radiallahu anhu. But his house was the first madrasa of Islam, Darul Arqam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go there. All the few Sahaba that were there at the time, they used to gather there, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them about deen, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu became Muslim even before Sahaba went to Darul Arqam. So very, very early on. And then afterwards, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got him married to his second eldest daughter, Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission to the Sahaba to migrate to Abyssinia, Habsha, Ethiopia, for the first time, Sayyidina Uthman migrated straight away. And then they came back. So what actually happened was, I don't want to go into too much side discussions because then I don't finish this. But what happened was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, when they went through so much suffering, and the mushrikeen of Makkah, the idolaters, the kuffar, they were giving them so much, they were harming them and oppressing them and putting them through so much difficulty, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them permission to migrate, to hijrah. And he said, go to Habasha. Habasha is now called Ethiopia. Originally it was called Abyssinia. On the map it says Ethiopia now, the name has changed. Originally it was called Abyssinia. Rasulullah said, go there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there is a Christian king there and he's a very good man. He will look after you. So Sayyidina Uthman was one of the few people in the first hijrah to Habasha. Only a few Sahaba went. They went to Habasha straight away. When they went there, after a few months or after a short amount of time, somebody gave them information. They heard some wrong information that the Quraysh have become Muslim. The people of Makkah have become Muslim and they've accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody gave them this wrong information, so they all came back. When they all came back and they came close to Makkah, they realized that it was a lie, that it was not true. So some Sahaba returned to Habsha and some stayed on in Makkah. So Sayyidina Uthman returned to Makkah. And then a short while later, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission again. Okay, everybody again, whoever wants to migrate to Habasha, go to Habasha. People here are making your life very difficult, go. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself couldn't go because his job was to call the people towards Islam. But he said, if you are finding it difficult to practice your religion here, go to Habasha. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, again with his wife Ruqayya radiallahu anha, they migrated to Habasha. And then they stayed there till Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. When Rasulullah migrated to Medina, then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu came from Habsha with his wife Ruqayya radiallahu anhu straight to Medina. So he didn't return back to Makkah. On the day of the Battle of Badr, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu couldn't go to the Battle of Badr. And the reason was because Ruqayya radiallahu anhu was very ill. And she was in her bed, she couldn't come out, and she was extremely ill. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, this is my situation. My wife is so ill," and his wife is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Uthman, you don't need to attend the battle. You look after your wife." Because remember, the Battle of Badr wasn't supposed to be a battle. This is something for another time. Battle of Badr wasn't supposed to be a battle. That's why the Sahaba were not even armed. It was supposed to be a trade caravan, and they were just supposed to ambush the trade caravan and just take what the trade caravan had. But the Quraysh planned it in such a way that the trade caravan escaped them and a big army came to face them, and Rasulullah did not even plan this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sahaba were not even prepared. They were so few in number. That's why many Sahaba were still in Medina. So, but anyway, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was not there in Badr, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarded Uthman as being there in Badr. He's known as a Badri Sahabi, someone who took part in Badr, even though he wasn't there. And the booty that was captured, the spoils of war that were captured, so you know when Mali Ghanimat jisko kehte hain in Urdu, when that was captured, from that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a share to Uthman radiallahu anhu as well, because he counted him as being part of the army, even though he wasn't there. Because Rasulullah excused him from the battle to look after his wife. So while the Sahaba were in the Battle of Badr, Sayyidatina Ruqayya radiallahu anha, she passed away as well. So on the day that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning, the first thing he came back to Medina and did was he had to lead his daughter's janazah and do her dafan and her kafan on that journey. So such an amazing blessing Allah had given. They won their first battle, but فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah says in the Quran. So even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he just won the Battle of Badr. You know, the power of the Muslims has increased. Everybody knows the Muslims are a strength to be reckoned with. And straight away Allah Ta'ala gave him a test. His daughter passes away. So even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi went through this cycle. One day good day, one day difficulty. One day ease, one day difficulty. Yeah, this is life. You know, people sometimes think, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi and the pious people, they don't go through this. Everybody goes through this. Everybody goes through difficulties, ease. Difficulties, ease. So the poet says, إذا اشتدت بك البلوى ففكر في ألم نشرح فعسر بين يسرين إذا فكرته ففرح. He says that whenever you go through any difficulty, think about the surah ألم نشرح. Because in ألم نشرح, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Straight after difficulty, there's an ease. Straight after that ease, you know, a good time, there's a hard time. Straight after that hard time, there's a good time. It's a cycle. You know, so every time you go through a difficulty, think there's going to be a good time. And when you're going through the good time, don't get so relaxed and thinking, this is it, I'm living the life. Because straight away there's going to be another difficulty that comes straight after. This is Allah Ta'ala's nizam, Allah's system. And we have to accept it as Muslims. Always happy with whatever Allah Ta'ala has written for us. Sayyidatina Ruqayya radiallahu anha, she passes away in the Battle of Badr, because Battle of Badr took place in Ramadan. So وتوفيت عنده في غزوة بدر في رمضان من السنة الثانية من الهجرة. That in the second year of the Hijra, the Battle of Badr took place in Ramadan, and Sayyidatina Ruqayya رضي الله عنها, she passed away in that battle. And then straight after she passed away, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم got his third daughter أم كلثوم married to Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه. And it'll come later that Rasulullah, after Sayyidina and Umm Kulthum, she passed away as well. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if I had a third daughter, I would have given her to Uthman. If I had a third daughter, I would have also given her to Uthman radiallahu anhu. It'll come later about his haya and his modesty. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu narrated 146 hadiths from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 146 hadiths. He obviously knew so many more. He spent so many years of his life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Sahaba were very careful. When they would mention a hadith, they wouldn't sit there and say hadith after hadith after hadith. They'd only say hadith when it was very, very important, when there was some knowledge that he had to tell the people. So that's why there's only 146 hadiths that have been mentioned from him. Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his book, Sahih al-Bukhari, he's mentioned 8 hadiths from Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, only 8 hadiths. And Imam Muslim has only mentioned 5 hadiths from Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then he mentions that he was born in the 6th year after the battle of the elephant, the incident of the elephant. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. So in the year of the elephant, when Abraha and his army tried to march on the Kaaba and destroy the Kaaba, and then Allah Ta'ala destroyed the army. And this is why we have Surah Al-Fil in the Quran. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Did you not see how your Lord dealt with the army of the elephant? So the whole incident is mentioned there. In that year, 6 months after that incident, or a few months after that incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And 6 years after that incident, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was born. So he was roughly 6 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he mentions that he was killed. He was made shaheed as well. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu became shaheed. Sayyidina Uthman became shaheed, and Sayyidina Ali, who later came, he also became shaheed. So out of the first four Khulafa al-Rashidun, the rightly guided leaders of the Muslims, apart from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the other three, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, all three of them became shaheed. They were martyred. And he mentions that he became shaheed on the day of Jumu'ah. On the day of Jumu'ah, he was killed, when there were only 10 days left of the month of Dhul Hijjah. So he was in the month of Dhul Hijjah that he was martyred. And when there was 10, so basically on the 20th of Dhul Hijjah, when there's only 10 days left, or the 19th of Dhul Hijjah, he was assassinated. Sanata khamsin wa thalathina, in the year 35 after Hijrah. So after Hijrah, 35 years after the Hijrah, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated. And it's mentioned that he was 90 years old at the time that he was killed. His age was 90 years old, nawwasal. Some have mentioned he was 88 years old. A difference of opinion, either he was 90 years old when he was killed, assassinated, became shaheed, or he was 88 years old. So he's very, very old in his late age. Because remember, he was, it mentions here, وَبُوِّعَ بِالْخِلَافَةِ غَرَّةَ الْمُحَرَّمْ سَنَةَ 24. وَكَانَتْ خِلَافَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ثِنْتَيْ عَشَرَةَ سَنَةً إِلَّا لَيَالٍ. That Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa of the Muslims for about 12 years. So he had a longer rule than even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa of the Muslims, the leader of the Muslims, for about 10 years. Sayyidina Uthman was about 12 years. And just a few days less than 12 years, it mentions. And he did Hajj with the people for 10 years in a row. So in that time, what would happen? The Khalifa, in the season of Hajj, the people who would go from Medina, the Khalifa would take those people. He was the tour guide. He would go and the people would go with him, and they'd do Hajj. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, similarly, every year, except for a few years, he would go take the people for Hajj. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started this. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could only go for Hajj after he had conquered Mecca, after the conquest of Mecca. And after the conquest of Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only survived for another 1 year. So he took the people for Hajj. After that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so busy in his time. He did take the people for Hajj, but he was so busy with other things. That's why we see in Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's time, he was just dealing with all the other problems. And in Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time, the Khalifa started to take the people in Hajj every single year. And after he was killed, after he was assassinated, and he was made shaheed, his janazah salah was led by a sahabi whose name was Jubayr ibn Mut'im. There were many Jubayrs from the Sahaba. You have Az-Zubayr, some Sahaba the name was Zubayr, and some Sahaba the name was Jubayr, and there's so many of them. So to call your son Zubayr is the name of a Sahabi, and Jubayr is also the name of a Sahabi. Bangladeshis will make the Z into J anyway, so they will say Jubayr anyway. But remember, Zubayr is the name of Sahabi, and Jubayr is also the name of a Sahabi. And he was buried in Jannatul Baqi'. Initially, when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was buried, his grave was hidden. Nobody knew where his grave was, because in his time there was a lot of fitna. I don't want to go into this, but in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, there was a big fitna. So many issues happened. Even how he was martyred and assassinated was a big problem. And this is why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa after him, had to deal with this whole issue throughout his whole life. And this is where you had the Sunni split and then the Shia split that came along later on. All of this started from the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, from his martyrdom, from his assassination. And then he mentions, وَكَانَ مُحَبِّبًا فِي قُرَيْشِ. Sayyidina Uthman was one of the noble leaders of the Quraysh. I'm only going to do, we'll see, about 10 minutes inshallah, and we'll finish. I have to find a cutting off point somewhere. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was one of the leaders of the Quraysh. He was one of the most beloved people of the Quraysh, one of the noblemen. And there were a few reasons why Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was so special amongst the Sahaba. And a lot of the reasons had to do with his generosity and his wealth, his money. Because whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam required the Sahaba to spend money, to donate, Sayyidina Uthman would always be the first person. For example, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims came to Medina, then there was only one main water supply. And it was called Bi'ru Ruma, the well of Ruma. And that belonged to a Yahudi, a Jewish person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will purchase the well of Ruma? And in return for this, I guarantee them Jannah. Who will purchase the well of Ruma? In return for this, I guarantee them Jannah. Sayyidina Uthman would always double check, Ya Rasulullah, if I purchase it, am I guaranteed Jannah? And Rasulullah says, yes, if you purchase it, you're guaranteed Jannah. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu purchased the well of Ruma for 20,000 dirhams. It's a very huge sum. And he used to mention later on, especially when he was in his house and the people were about to assassinate him, he used to say, do you not remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who will purchase the well of Rumah and I guarantee them Jannah, and I purchase the well of Rumah? Do you not remember this? Meaning, do you not remember that Rasulullah has guaranteed me Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are still coming to attack me? These people were very wretched people who attacked Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they assassinated him while he was holding the Quran. An 88-year-old, 90-year-old man, one of the close Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his son-in-law twice over, they assassinated him and his blood spilled all over the Quran. Till today, the Quran on which his blood is still preserved in one of the museums, I think in Turkey somewhere, or one of the museums in the Islamic world. His blood was preserved. His wife, an old woman, Sayyidatuna Naila radiallahu anha, she herself was probably over the age of 70. She tried to stop them and they chopped her fingers off, they chopped her hand off. These people, they had no mercy, they had no compassion. Very wretched people. They were the people who were the cause of, again, this whole Sunni Shia divide. They were some of the main people involved. Unfortunately, from among them was one of the sons of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Like we said, I mentioned before, the Sahaba used to get married multiple times. When one of their wives would pass away, they'd get married straight away. You'd never see a Sahabi unmarried. They'd get married straight away. You'd never see a woman Sahabiya unmarried. Now we have this big problem in the Muslim Ummah where you have so many women who are not married and they're so old, or they get divorced and nobody marries them, their husband dies and nobody marries them, they don't want to get married. In the Sahaba, you don't see this. You see a Sahabiya, I said last week, Sayyidatuna Asma bint Umayyis, one example. Any example, even Sayyidatuna Asma, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, her husband was Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Zubayr divorced her. Sayyidina Zubayr radiallahu anhu divorced Sayyidatuna Asma. And then she got married straight away. And then when her next husband passed away, she got married straight away. Till she became a very old lady, she was always in the state of marriage. Marriage is sanctity, marriage is strength, marriage is protection. And always the Muslim men and the Muslim women used to be married. It was never unmarried. Anyway, so Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a son later on, in the later stages of his life, whose name was Muhammad. This Muhammad was not a Sahabi. He was born after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're not a Sahabi. So this Muhammad was one of the attackers who came to hurt Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He's a young man. And you know, young people are sometimes a bit foolish and they make mistakes. He was not a Sahabi. And when he came with his sword to attack Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman looked at him and smiled. He said, my nephew, if your father was alive today, what would he have said? If your father Abu Bakr was alive today, what would he have said? You're attacking me. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr, they were so close. These are the early Muslims, they were like brothers, more than brothers. So Abu Bakr felt so, Muhammad felt so guilty straight away, he dropped his sword and he walked away and he didn't harm him. He didn't touch him. But he was a very, very sad state. And we'll come to that later, inshallah. But majority of this talks about this situation. So one of the reasons why Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was guaranteed Jannah was because he purchased the well of Rumah. He purchased it, and then when he purchased it, he didn't keep it for himself. It wasn't the well of Uthman. He purchased it and he said, I've made it waqf for everybody. Not just for the Muslims, but also for the non-Muslims. So it became the public well. Before that, it was the Jewish person's well, and he would only let certain people come and use it. And when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu purchased it, he said, it's free, it's public property. So everybody used to go and everybody used to use that water, and it was because of the action of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then he mentioned in the Battle of Tabuk. Battle of Tabuk was a very difficult battle. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was marching for the first time on the Roman Empire. The whole reason for the Battle of Tabuk was because before that you had the Battle of Muta, or I think that came after it. But anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was marching on the Romans to take some form of revenge. So he was getting the Sahaba ready. But unfortunately, the Sahaba, there was not enough money, there was not enough provisions, horses, camels, all of this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing in the masjid saying, can everybody donate? Donate what you can give. Give what you can give. That's why you have the famous tafsir as well in the Quran of an ayat which is not coming to my mind, that some Sahaba came with dates. They came with dates. Shasa would have explained in the tafsir of that ayat, it's not coming to my mind now. They came with dates. And the munafiqun, the hypocrites who were there, started to laugh. And they said, what does Allah want with this person's, old dates? The hypocrites started to laugh and they said, what is Allah going to do with this man's dates? But Allah Ta'ala came into full jalal mode. Allah Ta'ala said, this person's date is equivalent to a mountain given in charity. Because he's giving, he doesn't have anything else to give. This date is the food that he's going to eat at home. He's brought that and he's given it. It's not like he has anything else. This is all he has to eat, and he's thought, I'd rather than me and my family eat this, we'd rather go hungry, and I will give this to the people who are going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the intention, this is mujahad, this is sacrifice. So anyway, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing in the masjid, and he kept for hours and hours, he was telling sahaba, donate what you can, give what you can, give what you can. He mentioned that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing on the minbar, one sahabi, he says, and it's a hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing on the minbar, and he's encouraging people, that everyone donate. So Sayyidina Uthman says, Ya Rasulullah, alayya mi'ata ba'irin bi ahlasiha wa aqtabiha fi sabilillah. Ya Rasulullah, I will give 100 camels. 100 camels is very expensive. Very, very expensive. You know, this is probably a person's whole wealth. I will give 100 camels fully loaded. They will have their saddles, they will have their provisions, not just an empty camel, but it will be loaded with provisions. With all its provisions, 100 camels. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still carried on saying, you know, like they say, one person's given 1,000 pounds, or though, you know, somebody else, naam likwao. So say, Rasulullah kept on saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encouraging the sahaba, Sayyidina Uthman put his hand up again, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, alayya mi'ata ba'irin bi ahlasiha wa aqtabiha fi sabilillah. Ya Rasulullah, I will give 200 camels, with their saddles, and with their provisions in the path of Allah. Obviously, he doesn't have 200 camels at home. He has to get this from somewhere, but he's making the intention. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on, when he was carrying on, you know, motivating the sahaba, Sayyidina Uthman put his hand up again, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayya thalatha mi'ati ba'irin. Ya Rasulullah, I will give 300 camels in the path of Allah. So, and this sahabi who narrates the hadith, Abdul Rahman ibn al-Khabbab radiallahu anhu, he says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Uthman radiallahu anhu said, I give 300 camels in Allah's path. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come off the minbar. Rasulullah came off the minbar and then he said, Ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'da hadha. Uthman doesn't need to do anything after today. Uthman ko kisi aur amal ki zarurat nahi hai. 300 camels is given for the sake of Allah. He's preparing the whole army. And then so much money and so many other things he's given. So these are the two or three main reasons where Rasulullah, in each of those times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I guarantee Uthman Jannah. So this is why he's from the 10 Sahaba who guarantee Jannah. Every time because of his sahabat, his generosity. So we can talk about generosity. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sahabat, generosity is a tree in Jannah that has its branches in the world. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, generosity is a tree, the roots of it is in Jannah, and the branches, iski shakhe dunya ke andar hai. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever holds any of the branches of sakhawat, generosity, it will drag him into Jannah. Anybody who is generous, even if their amal may not be good, they may not do a lot of namaz, they may not do a lot of sadaqah and a lot of other optional actions, but they are generous. This will eventually end up dragging them into Jannah. It's like a tree. If you have a tree, the jal, the root is over there, and you have a branch here. If I hold on to the branch, I'm connected to the tree. So Rasulullah is saying, generosity is a tree in Jannah, it has its branches in the world. Jo koi apne aap ko kisi sakhawat ke kisi ek shaakh ke saath lipat leta hai, matlab laga deta hai uske saath, jo apne aap ko uske saath jod deta hai, usko Jannat ke andar, you know, it pulls it towards Jannah. So this is how Sayyidina Uthman, all of his, is guaranteed Jannah because of his sakhawat, because of his generosity. I think inshallah we'll stop there, and next week inshallah we'll carry on. Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to understand. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.